for the rest of your life.
To an incredible record high. We have that at the end of the hour in our We Can Count segment. Wait till you hear the number. I know I say this all the time, but you have you got to be kidding me. If you had picked up gold just a couple of years ago, man, it would have more than quadrupled. Yeah. The latest on I can't even say it. Zazie and the rest of the thugs and what they've done here in the homeland, as I got some good scoop prior to jumping on the air from a former FBI agent, and it includes what's now happened with Shahzad, the Times Square bomb plot suspect, and the fact that they might have even gone to the airport right after his arrest, after hearing media reports. It might have also made him flee as well, so there's some confusion as to the timeline. I'll explain if that makes any sense. What's it like when a tornado touches down and rips apart a town from end to end? The shock of it all, when suddenly you're losing friends, you can't find your children. You know, we've had a lot of these disasters when you talk about the floods in Nashville, what we've seen just the other day with the tornado. If you look to people in the area where the mine exploded and all of those families torn apart, even though they know it's a dangerous job, same thing with what's now happened in the Gulf of Mexico. Kate Delady here, America Tonight, the name of the show. Remember, you can always throw in your 2 cents, even if it sometimes gets caught up in your throat like it's doing to me tonight. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. Or, of course, you can always check in the snail mail way, and that's americatonight.net. But right from the get-go, I think I said this on my blog, Manny Moe and Jack, that's truly what it felt like to me as I was watching it. And when I say watching it, the blame game unfold. It's what we expected when we're talking about the oil spill in the Gulf. Not a lot of answers, just a lot of pushing around the potential blame. You know, who did it? It was the contractors. They're looking at BP, and they're looking at all aspects of this. So who better to start with of the Manny Moe and Jack trio here on ATN than Lamar McKay from BP? At least he was representing their interests this time around in front of the senators, and he blames Transocean. Listen to what he said.
Transocean, as owner and operator of the Deepwater Horizon drilling rig, had responsibility for the safety of drilling operations.
All right, there you go. Just flat out, they're looking at the valve and what happened with the valve and who should have known to have a backup system there and who should have ultimately capped it off. In again, trying to figure out why did this happen. It's not my fault. It's the other guy's fault. So you've got three oil companies that are locking horns over the spill and blaming each other for the accident that now has 11 people dead and oil spewing into the Gulf. It's been over 3 weeks. This is exactly what we thought was going to happen. The well's owner, of course, is BP and the lead operator of that whole deal. And then Transocean had a contract to drill the well, which is what McKay is referring to there, for BP using that Deepwater Horizon drill rig. So they're saying, look, Transocean is the owner and operator of that rig. They had responsibility for any of the drilling. It wasn't our fault. It's their fault. No, the buck stops with BP because it was there. So whoever else is essentially part of the process, I think everything falls in BP's lap. And the key question to me still goes back to who is going to back this up, meaning if they're only liable for $75 million, that's not putting a dent in all the livelihoods on the Gulf region, or and especially if it spills out further, and we're talking about Florida or Texas or wherever in the various areas that it could go. We've already mentioned Alabama. So nobody's, you know, who's zooming who here? I think you clearly have to put it on BP, even if Transocean screwed up, even if they are part of this because they are, it still ultimately, I think, falls in the lap of BP. So Transocean is saying that the responsibility of the well's owner is to set all the specifications for the drilling process. You cannot blame them. But the key thing here from the get-go is to tell you that really nothing came out of the meeting or the testimony, because that's all it was. It was dancing around the issue of whose fault is it and who's going to pay. What will BP really end up paying? And they keep saying this word about legitimate claims, and that's legalese. And, of course, if I was an attorney representing one of them, that's exactly what I would tell my guy to say. That way, as each and every case would be different, it would take a long time to go through the cases, so we wouldn't be bleeding even more cash. And if there was a case that you wanted to fight and you didn't think was fair and you didn't want to pay it out, that's what you would do, because you would call it a non-legitimate claim. So this is going to get ugly. This is going to get nasty. It's still in the cleanup phase. Who knows where the tentacles of that oil will spread, the tar balls, ultimately where they land, because it's 3 weeks counting, could be 3 months. I talked to someone again to verify that, and it's really looking a lot like 3 months. And 3 months is a lot different than a handful of weeks, because then you're talking about more of the oil spilling out and the chances with the currents to pull it even further away, which is why I keep harping on Florida or some of the other states, because you won't be able to control it. If you can't control it as it starts to pull out and they can't cap it off with a box, with any of the stuff that they're trying to throw at it, and I get the sense that they're throwing things at the wall. It's like spaghetti. Let's see what sticks. But this is in Hollywood. We're not talking about screenplays. We're talking about livelihoods. We're not trying to come up with a clever name for a big blockbuster. It's all about cleaning up something that is a catastrophe waiting to be called the biggest catastrophe we've ever had when it comes to a spill. And I think the key things that really should be looked at, and we'll talk about this throughout the thread of America Tonight and all the coming hours, but I think besides the livelihoods, the other thing has to go back that we have to look at is we have to go back to regulation, because who is looking out for the public? Who is there? Who are the people looking out for the oversight? Who's there? I mean, there has to be some kind of reform when it comes to offshore oil and the drilling, and it should have been there anyway. I'm for it. I'm for opening up offshore drilling. But these things should have been in place a long time ago, and perhaps this could have been avoided. There's always the possibility of an accident, but I think this one perhaps could have been capped off. Hamid Karzai in talks in Washington. Did anything come out of it besides hot air? We'll let you know. That's coming up at the tail end of the show. But next, when I was talking about those catastrophes of a different sort, like the tornadoes, and suddenly lives are on the line and people have lost their lives and are scouring the streets for loved ones, how do you put yourself back together? Our pal Mark Cassette is coming on to talk all about it next on ATN.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
Oh, my sinuses! They feel like they'll explode!
Sinus pressure, sinus headaches that keep you up at night. You've struggled for years. You've tried everything to get relief, but your sinus distress just keeps coming back and robbing you of the healthy life you deserve. Sound familiar? Well, you're not alone. Statistics show that 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress. Fact is, 67 products merely treat the symptoms and don't get to the cause of your sinus problem. Now there's a solution that's safe and doctor-recommended. SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray. It's the only patent-protected nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of your sinusitis. No alcohol, no rebound congestion, no drug interactions, and easy to use. Don't go another day just treating symptoms. Take control of your sinus health now and get SinoFresh Homeopathic Antiseptic Nasal Spray and get the relief you deserve. Go to buysinofresh.com. That's B-U-Y, sinofresh.com. Or call 888-906-3636. Breathe easy. Breathe free. Get SinoFresh today. It works.
The problem.
How do I cook food without power?
How do I light my home with no electricity?
How do I get emergency radio broadcast?
How can I make safe drinking water?
When your power goes out, the solution for cooking, baking, home lighting, listening to the radio, and producing clean water is the Family Emergency Kit from KeroStove. KeroStove has been in business for over 12 years with the largest selection of kerosene stoves and family preparedness supplies in the U.S. Now get the Family Emergency Kit at KeroStove.com for only $4.29 plus shipping, a savings of nearly $200. It's perfect for off-the-grid living. Call 888-395-1164 today. That's 888-395-1164 and ask about weekly specials or check the specials online each week at KeroStove.com. Again, call 888-395-1164 or go to KeroStove.com. KeroStove for family emergency solutions.
In 1965, this was the sound. Come in, you done. One more time. One more time. One more time. Crazy. And a drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
And apparently, some of you are fans of C-SPAN, or you're watching the clips and the analysis of Eeny, meeny, miny, moe today when it came to the three oil companies. Because, man, I'm telling you, my email is blowing up. I'm going to have to delete a bunch of the old email, which means we will definitely be doing a mailbag segment coming up in our next hour of America Tonight, because lots of hot opinions out there. That's what it's all about. It's about the water cooler buzz from coast to coast and left to right and everywhere in between. That's why I say it's a conversation, and everybody's welcome to this party anyway, at 800-259-5791. In talking about the oil spill and what's going to happen, you know, there are a lot of people that think it's being either overhyped or not hyped enough. Isn't that funny? And that's what some of the emails are talking about, that there's too much hype and it's like the worst thing that we've ever seen. It's like the locust, it's like the plague, or there's not enough attention being paid to it. You know, news moves so fast, and I think that's what it is, and there's so much going on, not like there wasn't in the past, but the way we get our information, how quickly it comes across. The dark ages are gone. I mean, between social media, the internet, radio shows, podcasts, everything. I mean, it's so quick anymore. And I think that's part of the deal. So that's why I always do odds and ends, because there's holes that we want to fill in, things that you might not have heard that we think are worthy of mentioning on the air. And one of those things, of course, sadly, is what happened in Oklahoma with those tornadoes. I mean, I say this all the time because I did a brief stint when I was an anchor woman, a television anchor woman, in a place called Kearney, Nebraska, and boy, I had never seen anything like the tornadoes that would crop up. And when I would go out and cover that and watch people, with tears in their eyes, trying to piece those lives back together, I wondered, geez, this has got to be one of the worst things because you're blindsided. You have no idea that this is coming. So as I said, Mark Aceta, our pal, is a perfect person to talk to about this. He's a life coach, and it's all about keeping on track even when you hit those giant potholes. I mean, adversity, where you're talking about the loss of life and you have to deal with that tragedy, or the loss of friends' lives due to something that was unforeseen, like Mother Nature. Hey, Mark, thanks for popping on ATN.
Oh, my pleasure. Always lovely to be on your show.
You know, you deal with this because you're dealing sometimes with people in crisis, and sometimes people turn to you because they just want to be tweaked a little bit. There's a project they have going on, and there's something that they're trying to achieve, goals and whatnot. But how do you, when your family is decimated by a tragedy like the miners, what we saw what happened in West Virginia a couple months ago, what we see that's now happened with the oil spill and the fact that there was 11 people that, yes, it's a dangerous job, but they were snuffed out, they're gone. And then, of course, the tornado, which even more people can relate to because you just don't really know, even with the great warning systems that are, you know, they're starting to put them in play a little bit more, you still can't always prevent what sadly becomes the inevitable for some people. So what would you tell people dealing with that kind of adversity?
Well, first of all, you know, the main thing is I try to get people to understand that, you know, all the things perhaps that they know about having a good attitude and their faith and all those things are most important during times of tragedy. Actually, that's when you need them more than anything. And a lot of people, once they do hit that catastrophic state, they don't realize that, as you said, a lot of people come to me because they just want to tweak things or make them a little bit better. But the principles that make you a little bit better are magnified when you're under such a tremendous problem. So, for example, one of the things is, you know, the power of staying in the now and not really dwelling on what's happened in the past, especially if it's tragic. You know what I mean? We all need to process something, you know, especially when there's a loss of life and so on and so forth. But some people process it in a healthy way and move on with their lives, and other people never let it go, ever. You know what I mean? So that's one of the things that we try to get people to understand is, you know, it's right and it's normal for you to deal with it, but once you've dealt with it, you need to let it go and move on. You know what I mean? That's a pretty important lesson.
Yeah, and in moving on, here's another question related to the loss of life. Because I completely agree with you, Mark, that it is about focusing on the present and not dwelling so much on the past. But I think now there's this new trend where a lot of times people are foregoing funerals and they're being cremated and they ultimately want to be buried, or they might still want to be buried somewhere in a cemetery and have a private little service. But the big funerals and I grew up in an Irish family, and it's always, you had a big Irish wake because you were celebrating the person. It wasn't to be down, it was to celebrate. What is the best way to handle that? Do you think the celebratory thing and really marking it helps you move on, or is it better to kind of just glide forward?
No, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I think it's very important that we don't ignore the fact that something happened. You know what I mean? It's like, I think it's healthy for everyone to get together, because let's face it, the reason why we're tearful most times when someone passes is because we're going to miss them. You know, it's our own grief we're dealing with. So many people, I just had a very good friend of mine who had Lou Gehrig's disease and passed on, and there's no doubt that he's in a better place now. You know what I mean? But I think it was extremely healthy for everyone to get together and honor his memory and so on and so forth. But then also, once we're able to do that grieving, then for everyone to release it, because most of the people who are gone wouldn't want us to keep, you know, being down about it. You know, most of them would want us to move on with our lives and so on and so forth. So I think it's an unhealthy thing to ignore that something serious like this happened. As a matter of fact, I can guarantee you that's a problem, because somewhere down the road, that's going to manifest itself in a negative way in your life if you don't ever process something that intense.
Yeah, well said. How about this? This is something a lot of people are going through, too, in a different way of being blindsided. Like, they suddenly lose their job, and unemployment numbers, depending on where people are listening to us, in some cases are high. Even we've got people listening to us, Mark, right now in Spain, and unemployment there is atrocious. It's 20%. And wow. Here in the States, the foreclosure rates, again, in some of the areas where people are listening, worse in Florida, worse in California. I think people get paralyzed by that. Then they think, oh, I have to look for a job. I hate looking for a job. I can't do my resume. I can't do this. I'll just put it off to tomorrow. I'll just wait till next week. What do you tell people that get paralyzed by things?
Well, you know, it's funny because that's something that before I actually did a lot of the work I've done, that used to be my deal. Like when I was overwhelmed by something, I would just sleep late and procrastinate and put it off. And what I learned was when you don't attack the problem, it generally just gets worse. You know what I mean? It's like it rarely gets better by ignoring it. Very few things get better by ignoring it. And the thing that happens is unconsciously we become even more depressed when we realize we're not doing what we know we need to be doing. So the best thing to do is to suck it up and go out there and do the resume. And also, one of my core teachings, Kate, is you have to expect good results. So many people are not optimistic. Even positive people, they're not optimistic. They don't expect good things to happen. And for anyone who believes in the law of attraction, let me tell you something. If you're not expecting good things to happen, they probably won't. Now, expecting good things to happen isn't going to guarantee a good outcome, but expecting bad things to happen will pretty much guarantee a bad outcome. So you have to get rid of the doubt and you know, just believe that something good is going to happen. Even though it may not, if you don't believe something good is going to happen, chances are you're not going to take the action steps towards making something happen.
Mm-hmm. Also well said. You know, it's funny. It's like the smartest man I knew, kind of a mentor of mine, Mark, said to me one time, you know, life is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I think there's something to that.
Oh, no doubt about it. I fully believe that. That I was blessed enough to come across a mentor in my life, and he started putting expectations on me that I started living up to. And you know, that's exactly what happened to me. You know, so many of us, though, don't have a mentor in our lives to put an expectation on us. So what it really boils down to is we've got to start putting expectations on us. I mean, some people love Donald Trump, some people don't. But in his first book, The Art of the Deal, the first line in the book is, everyone has to think, so I figured why not think big? So you know what? It worked for him. You know, just think big. Think outrageous. Think audacious thoughts, because crazier things can happen. I mean, you know, you got all kinds of stories like Colonel Sanders. I mean, we have hundreds of stories we could say.
Absolutely.
Where people had nothing going on and achieved amazing amounts of success. So you never know. Maybe this is the opportunity they've been looking for. Maybe being laid off is going to turn them into the next Mrs. Fields.
Yeah, no kidding. Well said. Life coach Mark Aceta. Google him. Good stuff. Thanks, Mark. We appreciate it.
Global, environmental, energy, technology. It sounds scary, doesn't it?
Well, it could be if you're a Bilderberger.
Not New World Order.
Because this amazing invention is really all about making clean energy very affordable for everyone. We call it GEET. Now, thanks to a worldwide grassroots intervention, the suppression of GEET is over and its inventor is free again to share it with you. Paul Pantone, inventor of the GEET fuel processor, only has a few openings remaining for the U.S. GEET dealership training program. You can be personally trained by Paul to become a GEET dealer from May 17th through the 21st, or from June 21st through the 25th. For details, go to GEETInternational.com or send an email to paul@geet.nl. Do it now, because when Paul has his 100 dealers, the U.S. school will close. Go to GEETInternational.com or email paul@geet.nl.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. 5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Sun is hot and that old clock is moving slow, and so am I. Workday passes like molasses in wintertime. But it's July, getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something, I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
I like that song. That's Alan Jackson, and he hooks up later in the song with Jimmy Buffett. And, you know, the whole idea here is the drinking game. But 5 o'clock somewhere, what about the people where 5 o'clock somewhere has become too much? I've seen this happen in different places that I've lived where just great people get sucked into not just having a few drinks, but they go down to that deep, dark hole, and they have to claw their way out and try to get sober. So that would be interesting to have Dave Andrews on, and he's from the Sobriety Solution and has some interesting things to tell us about that. Hey, Dave, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Hey, thank you very much for having me on. It's an honor to be able to talk to your audience tonight.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so Alaska, I happened to see this in a little blurb I read about you, and I had no idea that there's actually a town in Alaska, you'll have to tell us about this, that abolished the sale of alcohol, and what happened as a result of that?
So they've lost the sale of alcohol, and they had a 70% decrease in crime and accidents related to alcohol. And being a small town, they were really able to monitor that and see the considerable results. Interesting point is a lot of people aren't aware there are actually hundreds of dry counties and towns like that town around the United States. It just isn't something that's very well known or publicized. And the thing I always like to bring up with this is everyone thinks, you know, they hear the word prohibition, for example, and everyone thinks, oh, my God, no, not prohibition again, please. We got to stay away from that. What people don't remember is that prohibition, it was not illegal to actually drink. It was illegal to sell, manufacture, import, export. Today, the common practice is when they do go to dry counties and towns like Barrow is that you can still drink. You can actually bring the alcohol from somewhere else, have it, you know, shipped in or whatever, or brought from another county, but you can't sell it. You're not littered with bars and liquor stores all over your town, which is really, I think, what's at the core of the problem when we deal with this topic.
Do you think alcohol addiction, I'll call it that, is on the rise, on the decline, or somewhere in the middle?
That's a great question, and I actually think it's a little bit on the rise. You'll see studies all over the place with it, but it's getting a lot more attention these days, and it has become even a little more status quo to discuss it with some shows like Intervention and some of the work that Drew Pinsky has done and the shows that he's done from the Sober House and Celebrity Recovery. So it is getting talked about more, which helps it get addressed more, but it still is incredibly prevalent. It's a huge issue, and it starts at our childhood. And one of the reasons I bring up the dry counties piece is to me it comes down to I'm very blessed with the beautiful 5-year-old and 8-year-old daughters, and I'm scared to death of them when they go to college or even just high school when they start getting exposed to alcohol. And I think, as you're aware, in most towns you can find alcohol over the place. It's socially accepted. It's easily accessible. Billboards everywhere, commercials everywhere. You ask any parent out there if they think their child ever make it to 21 without drinking, and all of them will say no way, and they won't even think anything of it. And, you know, so my concern is, you know, what kind of communities are we bringing our children up? Are we giving them the awareness they need? We just finished Alcohol Awareness Month last month. And you know, the great thing about these dry communities, which I love, and I'm not one to, you know, like Big Brother and you know, lock down all these places and laws and take away my freedom, but the same token, it's very rewarding to hear these stories of places where the kids don't drink as early as they do, because some of the stats prove that if a kid starts drinking before the age of 15, they were 4 times more likely to develop alcoholism than if they began drinking at the legal age of 21. And, you know, those are the kind of statistics that are, I think, very important, because 11,000, somewhere in the neighborhood of 11,000 American youth try alcohol for the first time every single day. And to me, you know, the most compelling case you can make is the family. Where do you want to raise your kids, and do you want to be in a place where it's less socially acceptable and ease of access, or do you want to be in a place where they're everywhere and it takes them no time or energy to find alcohol?
Yeah, so what do you tell for people listening to us all over the country? What's the best thing to do? You've got the two girls, as you said, and they become teenagers. What do you tell kids when you know that there's going to be parties, you know there's going to be alcohol? What's the best way to handle that?
You know, it's such a great question, and it does come down to education, and that's so important. And I'm not a huge fan of scaring children like we often see when, you know, kids get in trouble and they have to go see all these alcohol videos, but it is important for them to know the consequences and to know how alcohol can affect their life today and in their future, and to try to give them alternatives. And so, you know, I have a lot of friends that have kids in that age range, and they do a lot of things with the children that are creating environments that are very positive and very fun. Like, they just spent a weekend doing all kinds of activities around prom, and they did it. It was pretty amazing. They had all of these fun activities from the Velcro stuff, and they had lots of family there, and they were able to successfully take alcohol out of that picture because they were involved, yet they created a really fun environment for the kids so they weren't searching out for the alcohol parties. Now, of course, where they're partying and where they're drinking, there always are going to be, but it does come down to education. It does come down to loving, caring families that have an open communication channel and that the children feels like they're, you know, they're part of a family. And so there's a lot to say with that, too.
Now, you talk about, you know, you've got the 30-day sobriety solution, and you're talking about people who have alcohol addiction. What are the first steps to getting on the right path if you're going down that terrible, dark, twisted road?
You know, it's so scary. And, you know, I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I prefer to say I'm recovered. I, you know, a lot of people say you're always in recovery, and I understand that, too. But It can be very dark. I had a lot of suicidal thoughts and things at the end there. And I was one of the lucky ones to save my wife and kids. I almost lost them to my alcoholism. And so the first thing is really I think there's a couple things. One is, you got to kind of step away and say, and realize, do you have a problem? If you can't today say, I can quit alcohol for 30 days and not have it dramatically affect my life and not obsess over drinking, then you probably have a problem and you should be working on it. So get out of the denial phase, get over the denial and say, you know what, I want to change this. And then, start looking at these people. I have a lot of inspiring sobriety stories on my page of these people that went through the pain and suffering they went through with their addictions and especially alcoholism, to turn it around and to be people that are speaking all over the U.S. at conferences and all over the world, in various fields, from business to recovery to just, transforming your life. And, realize that there is such a better, happier path out there. And, I say the first step is sit down and write your goals for your life. Write down really what you want in your life and then say, does alcohol get me closer or further away from that? It's usually pretty much a no-brainer decision. And that kind of starts to clarify where you're at. For me, it started making a huge difference when I started to look at the cost alcohol had to me. But as most of us, we wait until it hits our health really bad, affects our family, maybe we lose our job, maybe we lose our family, and that's where it's really sad, but it is part of the reality.
I think, too, and it depends, men versus women, different kinds of pressure. But don't you think at every level there's peer pressure, whether it's, playing, and this certainly isn't for everybody, but they're playing it at country clubs and they've got, the margaritas running all the way through the tennis tournament that they have every week, or whether it's a business-related thing. When I first got out of school, I had a friend that worked for McDonald's, and he said to me, now, when you come to see me in Chicago, put your, make sure you got your drinking game on, because you can't show weakness. You got to be able to do hundreds of Jell-O shots. And I thought, no way, I'll be on the floor. I'm 5'5". And I think even still, that's why I asked you that question, is drinking on the rise, that there is the pressure to drink sometimes. And that makes it hard for a lot of people, and it makes it hard for them to I think, make the choice to become sober, right?
Peer pressure is I'm so glad you brought that up, and you bring up so many, I could answer that in a lot of different ways because there's so many responses to that question. First of all, that's why I do love AA meetings. AA didn't have all the answers for me, but when you go to those meetings, you meet people and you see that there's a pathway out, that they're leading amazing, happy lives. That's what shocked me, that people are actually happy sober for many years. I couldn't believe that. And you get peer pressure on the positive side of getting away from it. The funny thing is, and this is what I had a tough time realizing, was there are a lot less people out there drinking abusively, like most of the people that have problems are drinking, than you think. You've created this alcoholic mind, and you follow this alcoholic continuum that you start putting your blinders on. As we all know, it's all about perception. We all see things as we kind of want to see. What was a hard thing for me to stop seeing was to stop seeing that there are a lot of people actually stopping after two or three drinks that I kind of thought were drinking all night long. And that was kind of an eye-opening experience. Now, there's always going to be, there are, the 10% is the number of drinkers out there that actually drink to an alcoholic or abusive level. But 10% is not a lot. And, of course, if you surround yourself around a crowd that drinks, then you're always going to have a lot more than 10%. But in general, the perception is very different. And what I found is people don't care so much if I don't drink. Some do, and those people are people I don't really care as much about. Business, I know, gets complicated. I was scared to death of how it would affect my business because I thought, my networking and working with others and my relationships, going out to bars and stuff and developing those, were so important to everything. What I realized was so much more important is how much better I was. If I was good at my job, I'm a high-functioning alcoholic, or was, I was so much better at my job when I got sober. It didn't matter. It didn't matter if I was going out to these people or not, because the work I was producing was phenomenal. And the time I had, I was always sober, clear-headed, and ready to do amazing work. And I still go out to these places. I still have fun. I still socialize. I don't enjoy it as much as I used to because I don't need to bore. I find it boring. I find it simply mind-numbing to sit there and be around that for hours now, whereas now I'll go in, I'll hang out for a half hour, hour, have some good conversations, move on. And, the people that care, let them, because there's going to be a lot more people that don't and that respect the work I do.
Yeah, great note to end on. Dave Andrews, appreciate it. Go to thesobrietysolution.com. You have a good one.
Hey, thank you, Kate.
All right, coming up around the bend, We Can Count.
fatigue, headaches, allergies and asthma, chronic disease. Is your home making you sick? Here's a fact. Our indoor air quality is getting worse, and the causes include chemicals, toxic gases, dust, pollen, dander, and even chemtrail particulates. To rid your home of these contaminants, get the best-priced air purifiers in the industry at airfiltersandpurifiers.com. Our air purifiers are specialized to fit your needs, from allergy sufferers to the sleep-deprived to the chemically sensitive. And with no tax, free shipping, a 5-year warranty, and a 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. And healthy, purified, clean air to gain. Call us at 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off when you use promo code GCN. Call 800-499-2418 or go to airfiltersandpurifiers.com, your trusted advisor for clean air.
Times are tough and you gotta stretch that dollar. A special invitation for listeners to save. Sign up at DoobleyShoppers.com today and start paying the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices for the coolest stuff. New premium brand name TVs, laptops, watches, camcorders, Blu-ray players, and more. All with factory warranties just like you get from a retail chain. Except for the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices. They start low and go lower with our reverse auctions.
You save even more with your first $8 auction purchase.
Doobly will give you an instant $25 dining certificate good at thousands of nationwide restaurants, plus a $500 vacation discount voucher usable at hundreds of resorts around the U.S. and world.
Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com.
Pay the absolute guaranteed lowest internet retail prices, and listeners receive special rewards. It's worth a peek to keep money in your pocket and the coolest stuff in your home and garage. Sign up today at DoobleyShoppers.com. That's D-U-B-L-I Shoppers.com. You'll be glad you did.
AirAndAqua.com is your one-stop shop for some of the most affordable air and water purification systems available on the market today. AirAndAqua.com knows exactly what doesn't belong in our air and our water, and they know exactly how to help you rid your home or office of these harmful toxins. Did you know that your skin actually absorbs more chlorine while you shower than from the water you drink? AirAndAqua.com can help you eliminate dangerous chlorine from your water. AirAndAqua.com carries atmospheric water generators, glass water bottles, chlorine-reducing shower filters, air purifiers, water ionizers, filters that remove up to 95% of the fluoride in your water, whole house water purification systems, solar-powered lawn and garden products, water testing kits, and more. Visit AirAndAqua.com. That's Air and AQ. AirAndAqua.com or call 1-866-380-2782. That's 1-866-380-2782. AirAndAqua.com. Purify your life today.
Of We Can Count here on ATN. How about this? President Obama's new health care law might actually add at least $115 billion more to health care spending over the next decade. Are you surprised by this? This is according to the congressional budget folks. I said this when the CBO came out with their number. So this is the scoop. If Congress approves all, I mean all, the additional spending called for in this legislation, it would push it to the well above the $1 trillion, the overhaul above the $1 trillion mark, and the unofficial limit that they were talking about early on in trying to pass this. So what ultimately does that mean? Well, the problem is a guesstimate. Like I said, it's like when you go to, you know, when you're doing the internet thing and you think you're going to get your car for a song, and they convince you at the dealership, oh, you're going to get this Infiniti, or you're going to come out with an Escalade, and it's going to cost you hardly anything. But really, once you sit down, you do all the things, you put the taxes on, you go round and round for 4 hours when you thought we were just walking in the door. Well, you know, that's the deal. It was just a guesstimate, and it was just a guesstimate when we talked about healthcare, which was my problem with it, part of it, all the way through this. Now, of course, there was no way to know what the hard number would be. So here's the scoop. The health care law provides coverage to about more than 30 million uninsured. And it offers tax credits to help buy health insurance through the markets they're going to do, the co-ops, if you will, that will start in 2014. When this bill was passed in March, the CBO thought the coverage expansion would cost $938 billion over 10 years while reducing the deficit by $143 billion. But with all this discretionary funding in the bill, there's no way. All the savings would be out the window, pretty much null and void. They'd be done. They wouldn't be there. And I think they're going to pass. So forget what you heard about the savings with the health care legislation. It's just not going to happen. That's the upshot here, okay? A couple of other things in We Can Count that I happened to see earlier in the day that I liked, including this one. Boy, if you had bought gold a few years ago and you just sat on the gold. I know, I don't want to sound like I'm beating a dead horse. I've said this before on the show, but when it hits an all-time high, the number that I saw that it closed at, a troy ounce, 1,230, it just right above that, that's crazy. I mean, that's an amazing number, and just an amazing, amazing number. So we're seeing that in London on Tuesday, it was up almost 26% since the beginning of the year, and there's a lot of different reasons for that, for things that we're seeing because of the Greek debt crisis, for one, what's happening with the European Central Bank and their decision to bail out Greece, and I mean, that's just been a disaster. So gold, you can't really go wrong with gold. I said this, I think, in the beginning of the year, I truly think there's a chance that you could see gold up to, and what a high level mark that would be. But I think you could possibly see it up to 2,000 by the end of the year. And that is a crazy big number. So even if you just had a little bit of cash, and I mean, not even a lot, you just have a little bit of extra cash and you put some of it in gold, you'd see, I think, a return by the time we hit January. Of course, I'm not a financial advisor, but that's how it's looking to me. Here's a good one. The Rasmussen poll. Everybody is talking about Elena Kagan and whether or not the Solicitor General is right to be the next Supreme Court justice. So these polls, you know how they are. 82% think Kagan will most likely be confirmed for the Supreme Court. But most people, I don't even believe they know who she is. Now, with Judge Sonia Sotomayor, 87% predicted she would be confirmed. So if you want to do like a little comparison here, 45% favored her confirmation in the first survey following her nomination. So it's like Kagan, she's been nominated. 29 were opposed and 26 weren't sure. So if you look at Kagan's numbers, she would be the first, she is the first nominee without any experience with a gavel in her hand, no judicial background, the first person to be in that spot in 40 years. Should she be confirmed, according to the poll, 33% said yes, 33% say no, and 34% are undecided. And I think, frankly, a lot of that is because people have no clue who she is. They really don't know much about her. There's no published record that would offer any kind of a insight, if you were looking for it, into her philosophy as far as a judicial ruling. So there are a lot of questions, I'm sure, that will come up during the Senate Judiciary Committee confirmation hearings, a.k.a. we're going to grill your booty when you sit up in front of us because we have midterm elections and we don't know a lot about you. So we're going to go for the jugular, but that happens to everybody. I mean, what? It's always interesting to hear people talk about that. What judge in my time of paying attention to the Supreme Court, I can't remember anybody who had completely smooth sailing. They didn't get to the point where you could see that they were frustrated with the questions, whether they leaned to the right or whether they leaned to the left. It's just the way it goes. It's such a big position. I mean, one of our three branches of government and the final say in the land. So she's going to get roughed up. And will she actually end up being the person that will take Justice Stevens' place after he retires and we go through all this rigmarole. I say probably she ends up doing that. Somebody brought up on America Tonight an interesting question, though. Wouldn't it be better to have the Supremes elected? I mean, what if you could vote? And why do they have to have a background, a legal background? Well, let's just pick the best celebrity. We can make it like Celebrity Apprentice. And, oh, that person looks the best. I think you have to have a legal background. And I don't like the idea here. I understand the thought process of, well, wouldn't it be better if they were just elected? You know, look locally. That's what you do locally. And that's why you should pay attention to who you're electing in your own backyard. But for the Supremes, I say no. It's a tradition I wouldn't mess with. Now, if things get lopsided, and some could argue that that's what's going to happen eventually on the court, maybe I'm going to see it a little bit differently. This is interesting. And this is my final week in count. Some of you can relate to this. Raise your hand, because I have my infrared glasses on, if you like overtime. Especially now, people are trying to pay bills, maybe pick up the slack because their partner doesn't have a job, their husband or wife, whatever. Well, this came out today. I saw it in Reuters that people who work 10, 11 hours a day are more likely to suffer serious heart problems, including heart attacks, than those who clock off after 7 hours. And how did they come up with this information? Well, there's an 11-year study on 6,000 folks, British people, civil servants. And I don't know that there's clear-cut information. There was like 369 cases of death due to heart disease. There were some non-fatal heart attacks and angina among this study group that they had in London. And the risk of having an adverse event was 60% higher for those who worked 3 to 4 hours overtime. Working an extra 1 or 2 beyond 7 hours wasn't associated with the risk. 7 hours. Matt, how many people work 7 hours? You know, that's Europe for you. They get to work 7 hours and then it's overtime. Oh, you're working 9 hours. You're practically into overtime.
Yeah, when I had an office job, I used to hurry and get all my work done, and I'd probably work about 7 hours.
Did you think it was better? Did you feel better 7 hours or no?
I don't know. I hated my job.
So it's the null and void.
The good with the bad. Yeah, I was only working like 7 hours. I was getting paid decently, but at the same time, I hated my job. So
yeah. Here's the problem. I mean, really, in reality, if we could all work 5 hours a day and have the rest of the day off and be just as successful as whatever it is that you're doing, who's not going to grab the brass ring in that case and go for that kind of a gig? Because you'd have more time to have a life. I think the problem is the commute. The average American commutes at least 45 minutes in one direction. They say, and the average, 45 minutes. You're spending a bunch of time frustrated in the car, trying to get on a train or whatever. And that's also part of it for some people. Hey, send me your thoughts, americatonight.net.
Worse? How can they get any worse? Take a look around you, Ellen. We're at the threshold of hell.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time.